Day 2. Breakfast. Eggs scrambled with 2 tablespoons of extra virgin olive oil, sun-dried tomatoes, basil pesto, and feta cheese. Handful of raw almonds, walnuts, pecans, or pistachios. Lunch. Baked portobello mushroom stuffed with crab meat and goat cheese. Dinner. Baked wild salmon or seared tuna steaks with wasabi sauce. Spinach salad with walnuts or pine nuts, chopped red onion, gorgonzola cheese, vinaigrette dressing. Ginger spice cookies. Day 3. Breakfast. Hummus with sliced green peppers, celery, jicama, radishes. Apple walnut bread spread with cream cheese, natural peanut butter, almond butter, cashew butter, or sunflower seed butter. Lunch. Greek salad with black or Kalamata olives, chopped cucumber, tomato wedges, cubed feta cheese, extra virgin olive oil with fresh lemon juice or vinaigrette dressing. Dinner. Baked chicken or 3 cheese eggplant bake, zucchini pasta with baby bella mushrooms, dark chocolate tofu mousse. Day 4. Breakfast. Classic cheesecake with wheatless crust. Yes, cheesecake for breakfast. How much better does it get than that? Handful of raw almonds, walnuts, pecans, or pistachios. Lunch. Turkey avocado wraps, using flax wraps, granola. Dinner. Pecan-encrusted chicken with tapenade. Wild rice, asparagus with roasted garlic olive oil, chocolate peanut butter fudge. Day 5. Breakfast. Caprese salad, sliced tomato, sliced mozzarella, basil leaves, extra virgin olive oil. Apple walnut bread, spread with cream, natural peanut butter, almond butter, cashew butter, or sunflower seed butter. Lunch. Tuna avocado salad, ginger spice cookies. Dinner. Shirataki noodle stir fry. Berry coconut smoothie. Day 6. Breakfast. Egg and pesto breakfast wrap. Handful of raw almonds, walnuts, pecans, or pistachios. Lunch. Mixed vegetable soup with added flaxseed or olive oil. Dinner. Parmesan breaded pork chops with balsamic roasted vegetables. Apple walnut bread with cream cheese or pumpkin butter. Day 7. Breakfast. Granola. Apple walnut bread spread with natural peanut butter, almond butter, cashew butter, or sunflower seed butter. Lunch. Spinach and mushroom salad with worry-free ranch dressing. Dinner. Flax burrito. Flaxseed wraps with black beans, ground beef, chicken, pork, turkey, or tofu, green peppers, jalapeno peppers, cheddar cheese, salsa. Mexican tortilla soup. Jicama dipped in guacamole. Classic cheesecake with wheatless crust. The 7-day menu is a bit heavy with recipes, see accompanying CD-ROM, just to illustrate some of the variety possible in adapting standard recipes into those that are healthy and don't rely on wheat. You can just as well use simple dishes that require little advanced planning or preparation, for example, scrambled eggs and a handful of blueberries and pecans for breakfast, baked fish with a simple green salad for dinner. Preparing meals without wheat is really far easier than you may think. With little more effort than it takes to iron a shirt, you can prepare several meals a day that center around real food, provide the variety necessary for true health, and be free of wheat. Between meals. On the wheat belly diet plan, you will quickly break yourself of the habit of grazing, that is, eating many smaller meals or frequent between meal snacks. This absurd notion will soon become a remnant of your previous wheat-consumed lifestyle, since your appetite will no longer be dictated by the 90 to 120-minute long glucose-insulin roller coaster ride of hunger. Nonetheless, it's still nice to have an occasional snack. In a wheat-free regimen, healthy snack choices include raw nuts. Again, choose raw over dry-roasted, smokehouse, honey-roasted, or glazed varieties. Recall that peanuts, a legume and not a nut, should be dry-roasted, not raw. Cheese. Cheese doesn't end at cheddar. A plate of cheeses, raw nuts, and olives can serve as a more substantial snack. Cheese will keep at least a few hours without refrigeration, and therefore makes a great portable snack. The world of cheese is as diverse as the world of wine, with wonderfully varied tastes, smells, and textures, allowing pairing of varieties with other foods. Dark chocolates. You want cacao with just enough sugar to make it palatable. The majority of chocolates sold are chocolate-flavored sugar. The best choices contain 85% or more cacao. Lindt and Ghirardelli are two widely distributed brands that make delicious 85 to 90% cacao chocolates. Some people need to get accustomed to the slightly bitter, less sweet taste of high cacao chocolates. Shop around for your favorite brand, as some are winey tasting, others earthy. The Lindt 90% is my favorite, since its very low sugar content allows me to enjoy just a bit more. Two squares will not budge most people's blood sugar. Some can get away with four squares, 40 grams, about 2 inches by 2 inches. You can dip or spread your dark chocolate with natural peanut butter, almond butter, cashew butter, or sunflower seed butter for a healthy version of a peanut butter cup. You can also add cocoa powders to recipes. The healthiest are the undutched varieties, that is, not treated with alkali, since this process removes much of the healthy flavonoids that reduce blood pressure, increase HDL cholesterol, and induce relaxation of arteries. Ghirardelli, Hershey, and Scharfenberger produce undutched cocoas. Mixing cocoa powder, milk, or soy milk or coconut milk, cinnamon, and non-nutritive sweeteners such as stevia, sucralose, xylitol, and erythritol make a great hot cocoa. Low-carb crackers. As a general rule, I believe we are best sticking to real foods, not imitations or synthetic modifications. However, as an occasional indulgence, there are some tasty low-carb crackers that you can use to dip into hummus, guacamole, cucumber dip, remember, we're not limiting oils or fats, or salsa. Mary's Gone Crackers is one manufacturer of non-wheat crackers, caraway, herb, black pepper, and onion, and Sticks and Twigs Pretzels, chipotle, tomato, sea salt, and curry, made with brown rice, quinoa, and flaxseed. Each cracker or pretzel has a little more than 1 gram of net carbs, total carbohydrates minus indigestible fiber, so eating several will usually not result in an undesirable rise in blood sugar. More manufacturers are introducing crackers whose principal ingredient is flaxseed, such as Flackers, made by Minneapolis's Doctor in the Kitchen. Alternatively, if you have a food dehydrator, dried vegetables, such as zucchini and carrots, make great chips for dipping. Vegetable dips. All you need are some pre-cut veggies, such as peppers, raw green beans, radishes, sliced zucchini, or scallions, and some interesting dips, such as black bean dip, hummus, vegetable dip, wasabi dip, mustards, such as Dijon or horseradish, or cream cheese-based dips, all of which are widely available pre-made. Despite the fact that removing wheat and other junk carbohydrates from the diet can leave a big gap, there is truly an incredible range and variety of foods to choose from to fill it. You may have to venture outside of your usual shopping and cooking habits, but you will find plenty of food to keep your palate interested. With a newly reawakened taste sense, reduced impulse eating, and reduced calorie intake that accompanies the wheat-free experience, many people also describe a heightened appreciation for food. As a result, the majority of people who choose this path actually enjoy food more than during their wheat-consuming days. There's life after wheat. On the wheat-free diet plan, you'll find that you spend more time in the produce aisle, farmer's market, or vegetable stand, as well as the butcher shop and dairy aisle. You will rarely, if ever, wander into the chip, cereal, bread, or frozen food aisles. You may also find that you are no longer cozy with the big food manufacturers or their New Age acquisitions or branding. New Age name, organic this or that, natural-looking label, and bam. Huge multinational food corporation now looks like small, environmentally conscious group of ex-hippies trying to save the world. Social gatherings, as many celiac sufferers will attest, can amount to extravagant wheat fests, with wheat products in anything and everything. The most diplomatic way to pass up any dish you know is a wheat bomb is to claim that you have a wheat allergy. Most civilized people will respect your health concern, preferring your deprivation to an embarrassing case of hives that could ruin the festivities. If you have been wheat-free for more than a few weeks, turning down the bruschetta, breadcrumb-stuffed mushrooms, or Chex Mix should be easier, since the abnormal exorphin-crazed impulse to stuff your mouth full of wheat products should have ceased. You'll be perfectly content with a shrimp cocktail, olives, and crudité. Eating outside the home can be a landmine of wheat, cornstarch, sugar, high-fructose corn syrup, and other unhealthy ingredients. First, there's temptation. If the waiter brings a basket of warm, fragrant rolls to your table, you've just got to turn them away. Unless your dinner partners insist on bread, it's easiest not to have it sitting right in front of you, teasing you and eroding your resolve. Second, keep it simple. Baked salmon with a ginger sauce is likely to be a safe bet. But an elaborate multi-ingredient French dish has more potential for unwanted ingredients. This is a situation in which it helps to ask. However, if you have an immune-mediated wheat sensitivity such as celiac disease or some other severe wheat sensitivity, then you may not even be able to trust what the waiter or waitress tells you. As any celiac sufferer will attest, virtually everyone with celiac disease has had it triggered by inadvertent gluten exposure from a gluten-free dish. More and more restaurants are now also advertising a gluten-free menu. However, even that is no guarantee of no problems if, for instance, cornstarch or other gluten-free ingredients are used that trigger blood sugar issues. In the end, eating out of the home presents hazards that, in my experience, can only be minimized, not eliminated. Whenever possible, eat food that you or your family prepare. That way, you can be certain of what is contained in your meal. The reality is that for many people, the best protection against wheat is staying free from it for some time, since re-exposure can invite all manner of peculiar phenomena. While it may be hard to turn down a piece of birthday cake, if you pay for the indulgence with several hours of stomach cramps and diarrhea, it makes it hard to indulge with any frequency. Of course, if you have celiac disease or any history of abnormal celiac markers, you should never indulge in any wheat or gluten-containing food. Our society has indeed become a whole-grain world, with wheat products filling the shelves in every convenience store, coffee shop, restaurant, and supermarket, and entire stores devoted to them, such as bakeries and bagel and donut shops. At times, you may have to search and dig through the rubble to find what you need. But along with sleep, exercise, and remembering your wedding anniversary, eliminating wheat can be viewed as a basic necessity for long life and health. A wheat-free life can be every bit as fulfilling and adventurous as, and certainly healthier than, the alternative. Epilogue. There is no question that the cultivation of wheat in the Fertile Crescent 10,000 years ago marked a turning point in the course of civilization, planting the seeds for the agricultural revolution. Cultivation of wheat was the pivotal step that converted nomadic hunter-gatherers to fixed, non-migratory societies that grew into villages and cities, yielded food surplus, and allowed occupational specialization. Without wheat, life today would surely be quite different. So, in many ways, we owe wheat a debt of gratitude for having propelled human civilization on a course that has led us to our modern technological age. Or do we? Jared Diamond, professor of geography and physiology at UCLA, and author of the Pulitzer Prize-winning book Guns, Germs, and Steel, believes that the adoption of agriculture, supposedly our most decisive step toward a better life, was in many ways a catastrophe from which we have never recovered. Dr. Diamond points out that, based on lessons learned through modern paleopathology, the conversion from hunter-gatherer to agricultural society was accompanied by reduced stature, a rapid spread of infectious diseases such as tuberculosis and bubonic plague, and a class structure from peasantry to royalty, and it also set the stage for sexual inequality. In his books, Paleopathology at the Origins of Agriculture and Health and the Rise of Civilization, anthropologist Mark Cohen of the State University of New York argues that while agriculture yielded surplus and allowed division of labor, it also entailed working harder and longer hours. It meant narrowing the wide variety of gathered plants down to the few crops that could be cultivated. It also introduced an entirely new collection of diseases that had previously been uncommon. I don't think most hunter-gatherers farmed until they had to, and when they switched to farming, they traded quality for quantity, he writes. The standard modern notion of pre-agricultural hunter-gatherer life as short, brutish, desperate, and a nutritional dead end may be incorrect. The adoption of agriculture in this revisionist line of thinking can be viewed as a compromise in which convenience, societal evolution, and food abundance were traded for health. We have taken this paradigm to the extreme, narrowing our dietary variety down to popular catchphrases such as, eat more healthy whole grains. Convenience, abundance, and inexpensive accessibility have all been achieved to a degree inconceivable even a century ago. 14-chromosome wild grass has been transformed into the 42-chromosome nitrate-fertilized, top-heavy, ultra-high-yield variety that now enables us to buy bagels by the dozen, pancakes by the stack, and pretzels by the family-size bag. Such extremes of accessibility are therefore accompanied by extremes of health sacrifice, obesity, arthritis, neurological incapacity, even death from increasingly common diseases such as celiac. We have unwittingly struck a Faustian bargain with nature, trading abundance for health. This idea that wheat is not only making people ill, but killing some of us, some quickly, others more slowly, raises unsettling questions. What do we say to the millions of people in third world countries who, if deprived of high-yield wheat, might have less chronic illness, but greater likelihood of near-term starvation? Should we just accept that our far-from-perfect means justifies the net-reduced mortality end? Can a shaky United States economy endure the huge shakedown that would be required if wheat were to experience a downturn in demand to make way for other crops and food sources? Is it even possible to maintain access to cheap, high-volume food for the tens of millions of people who presently rely on high-yield wheat for $5 pizza and $1.29 loaves of bread? Should einkorn or emmer, primordial wheat that predates the thousands of hybridizations leading to modern wheat, replace our modern version, but at the price of reduced yield and increased cost? I won't pretend to have the answers. In fact, it may be decades before all these questions can be adequately answered. I believe that resurrecting ancient grains, as Eli Rugosa is doing in western Massachusetts, may provide a small part of the solution, one that will grow in importance over many years, in the same way that cage-free eggs have gained some economic traction. For many people, I suspect that ancestral wheat represents a reasonable solution, not necessarily entirely free of human health implications, but at least far safer. And in an economy in which demand ultimately drives supply, reduced consumer interest in modern genetically altered wheat products will cause agricultural production to gradually shift to accommodate changing tastes. What to do with the thorny issue of helping to feed the third world? I can only hope that improved conditions in the coming years will also introduce wider choice in food that will allow people to move away from the "it's better than nothing" mentality that presently dominates. In the meantime, you have the freedom to exert your proclamation of wheat belly emancipation with the power of your consumer dollars. The message to eat more healthy whole grains should accompany other mistakes, such as substituting hydrogenated and polyunsaturated fats for saturated fats, substituting margarine for butter, and substituting high fructose corn syrup for sucrose, in the graveyard of misguided nutritional advice that has confused, misled, and fattened the American public. Wheat is not just another carbohydrate, no more than nuclear fission is just another chemical reaction. It is the ultimate hubris of modern humans that we can change and manipulate the genetic code of another species to suit our needs. Perhaps that will be possible in 100 years, when the genetic code may be as readily manipulated as your checking account. But today, genetic modification and hybridization of the plants we call food crops remain crude science, still fraught with unintended effects on both the plant itself and the animals consuming them. Earth's plants and animals exist in their current form because of the end result of millions of years of evolutionary coddling. We step in the absurdly brief period of the past half century, alter the course of evolution of a plant that thrived alongside humans for millennia, only now to suffer the consequences of our short-sighted manipulations. In the 10,000-year journey from innocent, low-yield, not-so-baking-friendly einkorn grass to high-yield, created in a laboratory, unable to survive in the wild, suited to modern tastes, dwarf wheat, we witnessed a human-engineered transformation that is no different than pumping livestock full of antibiotics and hormones while confining them in a factory warehouse. Perhaps we can recover from this catastrophe called agriculture, but a big first step is to recognize what we've done to this thing called wheat. See you in the produce aisle. Appendix A. Looking for wheat in all the wrong places. While the following lists may be daunting, sticking to wheat and gluten-free foods can be as easy as restricting yourself to foods that don't require a label. Foods such as cucumbers, kale, cod, salmon, olive oil, walnuts, eggs, and avocados have nothing to do with wheat or gluten. They are naturally free of such things, natural and healthy, without benefit of some gluten-free label. But if you venture outside of familiar natural whole foods, eat in social situations, go to restaurants, or travel, then there is potential for inadvertent wheat and gluten exposure. For some people, this is not just a game. Someone with celiac disease, for instance, may have to endure days to weeks of abdominal cramping, diarrhea, even intestinal bleeding, from an inadvertent encounter with some wheat gluten mixed into the batter used to bread chicken. Even after the nasty rash of dermatitis herpetiformis heals, it can flare with just a dash of wheat-containing soy sauce. Or someone who experiences inflammatory neurological symptoms can experience abrupt decline in coordination because the gluten-free beer really wasn't. For many others who don't have immune or inflammation-mediated gluten sensitivity, accidental exposure to wheat can bring on diarrhea, asthma, mental fog, joint pains or swelling, leg edema, behavioral outbursts in people with ADHD, autism, bipolar illness, and schizophrenia. Many people therefore have to be vigilant about exposure to wheat. Those with autoimmune conditions such as celiac, dermatitis herpetiformis, and cerebellar ataxia also need to avoid other gluten-containing grains: rye, barley, spelt, triticale, kamut, and bulgur. Wheat and gluten come in a dizzying variety of forms. Couscous, matzah, orzo, graham, and bran are all wheat. So are farro, panko, and rusk. Appearances can be misleading. For instance, the majority of breakfast cereals contain wheat flour, wheat-derived ingredients, or gluten, despite names such as corn flakes or Rice Krispies. Oats remain a topic of controversy, especially since oat products are often processed in the same equipment or facility as wheat products. Most celiac sufferers therefore avoid oats as well. To qualify as gluten-free by FDA criteria, manufactured products, not restaurant-produced products, must be both free of gluten and produced in a gluten-free facility to prevent cross-contamination. Some people are so gluten-sensitive that even the small amount you are exposed to by sharing a cutting device can bring on symptoms. This means that for the seriously sensitive, even an ingredient label that does not list wheat or any buzzwords for wheat, such as modified food starch, can still contain some measure of gluten. If in doubt, a call or email to the customer service department may be necessary to inquire whether a gluten-free facility was used. Also, more manufacturers are starting to specify whether products are gluten-free or not gluten-free on their websites. Note that wheat-free does not equate with gluten-free in food labeling. Wheat-free can mean, for instance, that barley malt or rye is used in place of wheat, but both also contain gluten. For the very gluten-sensitive, such as those with celiac, do not assume that wheat-free is necessarily gluten-free. You already know that wheat and gluten can be found in abundance in obvious foods, such as breads, pastas, and pastries. But there are some not-so-obvious foods that can contain wheat, as listed below. Baguette, barley, beignet, bran, brioche, bulgur, burrito, couscous, crepe, croutons, durum, einkorn, emmer, farina, farro. Several wheat varieties are often loosely called farro in Italy. Focaccia, gnocchi, graham flour, hydrolyzed vegetable protein, kamut, matzah, modified food starch, orzo, panko, a breadcrumb mixture used in Japanese cooking, ramen, roux, wheat-based sauce or thickener, rusk, rye, seitan, nearly pure gluten used in place of meat, semolina, soba, mostly buckwheat but usually also includes wheat, spelt, strudel, tart, textured vegetable protein, triticale, udon, wheat germ, wraps. Wheat-containing products. Wheat reflects the incredible inventiveness of the human species, as we've transformed this grain into an incredible multitude of shapes and forms. Beyond the many configurations that wheat can take, previously mentioned, there is an even greater variety of foods that contain some measure of wheat or gluten. A list of these foods follows shortly. Please keep in mind that, due to the extraordinary number and variety of products on the market, this list cannot include every possible wheat and gluten-containing item. The key is to remain vigilant and ask or walk away whenever in doubt. Many foods on the following list also come in gluten-free versions. Some gluten-free versions are both tasty and healthy. For example, vinaigrette salad dressing without hydrolyzed vegetable protein. But bear in mind that the growing world of gluten-free breads, breakfast cereals, and flours, which are typically made with rice starch, corn starch, potato starch, or tapioca starch, are not healthy substitutes. Nothing that generates diabetic range blood sugar responses should be labeled healthy, gluten-free, or otherwise. They serve best as an occasional indulgence, not staples. There is also an entire world of stealth sources of wheat and gluten that cannot be deciphered from the label. If the listed ingredients include non-specific terms, such as starch, emulsifiers, or leavening agents, then the food contains gluten, until proven otherwise. There is doubt surrounding the gluten content of some foods and ingredients, such as caramel coloring. Caramel coloring is the caramelized product of heated sugars that is nearly always made from corn syrup, but some manufacturers make it from a wheat-derived source. Such uncertainties are expressed with a question mark beside the listing. Not everybody needs to be extra vigilant about the most minute exposure to gluten. The listings that follow are simply meant to raise your awareness of just how ubiquitous wheat and gluten are, and provide a starting place for people who really do need to be extremely vigilant about their gluten exposure. Here's a list of unexpected sources of wheat and gluten. Beverages. Ales, beers, lagers, though there is an increasing number of gluten-free beers. Bloody Mary mixes, coffees, flavored. Herbal teas made with wheat, barley, or malt. Malt liquor, teas, flavored. Vodkas distilled from wheat. Absolut, Grey Goose, Stolichnaya. Wine coolers, containing barley malt. Whiskey, distilled from wheat or barley. Breakfast cereals. I trust you can tell that cereals such as shredded wheat and Wheaties contain wheat. However, there are those that appear wheat-free that most decidedly are not. Bran cereals. All Bran, Bran Buds, Raisin Bran. Corn Flakes. Corn Flakes, Frosted Flakes, Crunchy Corn Bran. Granola cereals. Healthy cereals. Smart Start, Special K, Grape Nuts, Trail Mix Crunch. Muesli, Mueslix. Oat cereals. Cheerios, Cracklin Oat Bran, Honey Bunches of Oats. Popcorn cereals. Corn Pops. Puffed Rice cereals. Rice Krispies. Cheese. Because the cultures used to ferment some cheeses come in contact with bread, bread mold, they potentially present a gluten exposure risk. Blue cheese, cottage cheese, not all, gorgonzola cheese, Roquefort. Coloring, fillers, texturizers, thickeners. These hidden sources can be among the most problematic, since they are often buried deep in the ingredient list or sound like they have nothing to do with wheat or gluten. Unfortunately, there is often no way to tell from the label, nor will the manufacturer be able to tell you, since these ingredients are often produced by a supplier. Artificial colors, artificial flavors, caramel coloring, caramel flavoring, dextromaltose, emulsifiers, maltodextrin, modified food starch, stabilizers, textured vegetable protein. Energy, protein, and meal replacement bars. Clif bars, Gatorade pre-game fuel nutrition bars, GNC Pro Performance bars, Kashi Go Lean bars, Power bars, Slim Fast meal bars. Fast food. At many fast food restaurants, the oil used to fry French fries may be the same oil used to fry breadcrumb-coated chicken patties. Likewise, cooking surfaces may be shared. Foods you wouldn't ordinarily regard as wheat-containing often do contain wheat, such as scrambled eggs made with pancake batter, or Taco Bell nacho chips and potato bites. Sauces, sausages, and burritos typically contain wheat or wheat-derived ingredients. Foods that don't contain wheat or gluten are, in fact, the exception at fast food restaurants. It is therefore difficult, some say near impossible, to confidently obtain wheat and gluten-free foods at these places. You shouldn't be eating there anyway. However, some chains, such as Subway, Arby's, Wendy's, and Chipotle Mexican Grill, confidently claim that many of their products are gluten-free and/or offer a gluten-free menu. Hot cereals. Cream of wheat. Farina. Maltomeal, oatmeal, oat bran. Meats. Breaded meats, canned meats, deli meats, luncheon meat, salami, hot dogs, imitation bacon, imitation crab meat, hamburger, if breadcrumbs are added, sausage, turkey, self-basting. Miscellaneous. This can be a real problem area, since identifiable wheat or gluten-containing ingredients may not be listed on product labels. A call to the manufacturer may be necessary. Envelopes, glue, gloss and lip balms, Play-Doh, prescription and over-the-counter medications. A useful online resource can be found at www.glutenfreedrugs.com, a listing maintained by a pharmacist. Nutritional supplements. Many manufacturers will specify gluten-free on the label. Lipstick, stamps, glue. Sauces, salad dressings, condiments. Gravies thickened with wheat flour, ketchup, malt syrup, malt vinegar, marinades, miso, mustards containing wheat, salad dressings, soy sauce, teriyaki sauce. Seasonings, curry powder, seasoning mixes, taco seasoning. Snacks and desserts. Cookies, crackers, and pretzels are obvious wheat-containing snacks, but there are plenty of not-so-obvious items. Cake frosting, candy bars, chewing gum, powdered coating, Chex mixes, corn chips, dried fruit, lightly coated with flour, dry-roasted peanuts, fruit fillings with thickeners, jelly beans, not including Jelly Bellies and Starburst, granola bars, ice cream, cookies and cream, Oreo cookie, cookie dough, cheesecake, chocolate malt, ice cream cones, licorice, nut bars, pies, potato chips, including Pringles, roasted nuts, tiramisu, tortilla chips flavored, trail mixes, soups, bisques, broths, bouillon, canned soups, soup mixes, soup stocks and bases, soy and vegetarian products, veggie burgers, Boca burgers, garden burgers, Morningstar Farms, vegetarian chicken strips, vegetarian chili, vegetarian hot dogs and sausages, vegetarian scallops, vegetarian steaks. Sweeteners. Barley malt, barley extract, dextrin and maltodextrin, malt, malt syrup, malt flavoring. This concludes the reading of Wheat Belly, Lose the Wheat, Lose the Weight, and Find Your Path Back to Health by William Davis, M.D. Copyright 2011 by William Davis, M.D. This book was read by Tom Weiner. This unabridged recording was published by arrangement with Rodale Books and was produced in 2011 by Blackstone Audio, Inc., which holds the copyright. Neither this recording nor any portion of it may be reproduced or used for any purpose without prior written authorization from Blackstone Audio, Inc.
Audible hopes you have enjoyed this program.